Quilting with the Stars, Part 2. Christy had been looking forward to picking up her star quilter at the train station Friday afternoon at 2, but Joanna texted her at 1:30 to say that there'd be no need. She was going to call an Uber and take a long nap before the evening's events. "I'll skip dinner if you don't mind," she'd written. "See you at the opening." "Well, that's disappointing," Amy said when Christy called to give her the news. Amy had returned from Florida on Thursday, just in time for the show. "But on the plus side," she continued, "we'll save some money. Dinner at Parsnip is so expensive." "Should we cancel it altogether?" Christy wondered. "I mean, what's the point if Joanna's not going to be there?" Amy laughed, as though she found the suggestion absurd. "Are you kidding? We finally get Haley Wilde to agree to show up for something? This is our chance to sell her on the Guild. Get her involved. In fact, let's pay for Haley's dinner. That way, she'll owe us one." "She's pretty rich," Christy pointed out. "She can afford to pay for her own dinner." "You're missing my point. We'd be making a gesture. You're valuable to us, Haley, is what we're telling her. We need you." "Yes, but Haley Wilde didn't need them," Christy thought. "And why would she? When you got right down to it, Haley was more of an artist than a quilter. It was hard to imagine her at the Guild's Christmas party playing quilter's bingo or doing the ugly fat quarter exchange." "Well, I have been looking forward to dinner at Parsnip," Christy said, as though conceding Amy's point. "So I guess I'm glad not to cancel. I'm just sorry Joanna won't be there." "Listen, when you come, bring me my flash drive, would you?" Amy asked, seemingly unconcerned about Joanna's absence. "I need to have all that info on hand to run the show on Saturday and Sunday."
"I'm happy still to run things," Christy said. "I mean, you just got back to town and have been out of the loop."
"Au contraire. You've done an excellent job of keeping me very much in the loop. Really, Christy, I can't thank you enough for all of your hard work, but I've got it from here."
Christy tapped end call on her phone and set it down next to the microwave. She'd planned on picking up Joanna, taking her for a quick lunch at Squid and Ink, a new seafood cafe and bookstore on East Main Street, and then squiring her around town until it was time to check in at the show. Christy thought it might be fun to drive Milton Falls Quilt Trail or pop over to the Historical Society, where they had an exhibit on Emmeline Grangerfield, who'd written about quilts for the Milton Falls Gazette in the 30s before becoming a quilting columnist for The Farmer's Wife and then Ladies' Home Journal. Now she didn't have a thing to do but sit around and wish Amy had stayed in Florida. Was that terrible? Maybe, but Christy had worked so hard on the show and now it felt as though it had been taken away from her. A knock sounded at the back door and then Claire called out, "Hello," as she kicked off her boots. "Anybody home?"
"In the kitchen," Christy called back.
Claire appeared a moment later, carrying her now familiar laundry basket.
"I thought you might be getting ready for the show," she said. "In fact, I was going to see if you needed any help."
"And, of course, do your laundry."
Claire grinned. "That too. But after I throw in my whites, I could go pick up that lady at the train station for you."
"That lady is taking an Uber from the station," Christy informed her daughter. "And the show is pretty much under control. I'll go over around 4 to make a final run-through, but we were up until midnight last night making sure everything was perfect for tonight's opening."
Claire stared at her a moment before saying anything.
"Are you okay, Mom? You seem a little down."
"Just tired. There's been so much going on, I've been too busy to feel it until now. I should probably get up and do something. I don't know what, though."
"You could give me a walkthrough of the show," Claire suggested.
Her eyes lit up.
And after that, we could get an ice cream at Linway's.
Christy laughed. You sound like you're 10 years old.
But okay, quilts and ice cream sounds like a nice afternoon. I took off work for the show, so I haven't been outside today. Do I need a sweater?
A sweater and maybe your blue scarf.
Unless I stole your blue scarf. Did I by any chance steal your blue scarf?
No, but only because I hid it from you, Christy said, laughing.
Let me comb my hair and I'll be ready to go.
Put on some lipstick too,
Claire called as Christy mounted the stairs. And earrings. For once in your life, earrings.
I'm not going to the prom, Christy called back. I'll get dressed up tonight.
But who would she be dressing up for, she wondered as she pulled a gray cardigan from her closet. Not Joanna Lambert, that was for sure. And it didn't seem much fun to dress up for Amy and the rest of the girls. Not even for Haley Wilde.
You could dress up for yourself, she thought as she looked in the mirror, shrugging a little shrug. Just for the fun of it. Just to add a little excitement to your day.
Well, why not? Christy thought as she pursed her lips and applied a bit of lipstick.
Why exactly not?
Haley Wilde, elusive Haley Wilde, the very important artist, turned out to be as down-to-earth as a pair of comfortable old shoes. Christy hadn't been expecting that at all. She'd assumed that Haley would be standoffish, dressed in some severe black-and-white ensemble like a celebrity featured in an article about postmodern architecture. But Haley Wilde showed up to dinner at Parsnip dressed. Well, strangely enough, she'd shown up dressed an awful lot like Christy. Or, to be more precise, Christy as styled by her daughter, Claire.
You are not going to a dinner at Parsnip wearing those earrings, Claire had insisted when Christy had come downstairs shortly before it was time to go.
Much to Christy's surprise, her daughter had pulled off her own earrings.
Plucked them right out of her very own ears, she'd confessed to Haley Wilde only an hour later, the two of them deep into a bottle of buttery Chardonnay, and demanded that Christy take out her tastefully small gold hoops.
Claire's earrings were silver and dangly, the kind of earrings that would get caught in your scarf if you weren't careful. Christy felt like she might be endangering herself by putting them on. Her whole outfit was a little risque when you got right down to it. Not that it was totally revealing, but it was a bit on the flamboyant side, at least compared to Christy's normal clothes, which tended toward the utilitarian. After replacing Christy's earrings, Claire had rummaged through her laundry basket until she'd found a beautifully pink, nearly sheer blouse and held it up.
Oh, this would look great with your skin tone, Mom, she'd insisted. It would bring out your rosy undertones.
I don't think I'm rosy at all, Christy protested. Amy says I'm sort of sallow-skinned.
Amy doesn't know what she's talking about, Claire said, approaching Christy with the blouse. Your problem is that you wear too much brown and beige. Those are totally the wrong colors for you.
But you can see right through that blouse.
Christy took a step back as though she feared the blouse might force itself on her.
It's just not my style, honey.
Claire ignored her. I've got a camisole in the basket. You can wear it under the blouse and no one will see anything you don't want them to see.
Then her daughter dragged her upstairs so they could look through Christy's closet for something to go with the blouse.
Claire found a slinky black skirt that Christy had forgotten she owned and couldn't remember for the life of her why she'd bought it in the first place. And then, in a moment of inspiration, pulled off her well-worn signature red cowboy boots.
These are perfect, Claire declared as she handed the boots to her mother. You'll be the belle of the ball in these.
Or, at very least, a belle of the hoedown.
By this point, Christy didn't have the time or the energy to protest. She put on the boots, accepted Claire's offer of her jean jacket and a ride, and then climbed into the passenger seat of Claire's CRV. Catching a glimpse of herself in the sun visor's little clip-on mirror, she hardly knew who she was looking at. It was like she'd been taken over by somebody who'd recently been to France.
"You look pretty, Mom," Claire told her as she slid into the driver's seat. "I knew that blouse was right for you."
"What on earth did you do to yourself?"
Amy asked when Christy arrived at Parsnip 15 minutes later, and Christy couldn't tell if there was a compliment buried in that question or some sort of rebuke.
"My daughter has given me a makeover," she told the group of women gathered around the table. "She even made me wear lipstick."
Everyone laughed, including the tall woman who Christy recognized from photographs as Haley Wilde.
"I have 3 daughters, and they're always trying to reform me into someone more glamorous," Haley said, gesturing at the empty chair next to her. "Sit here, and we can complain about our children together."
Christy almost said that, oh no, she wasn't complaining. Her daughter was perfectly nice. But then she picked up on the humor in Haley Wilde's voice and realized the woman was simply being charming.
"I have a son I can complain about too," she told Haley as she sat down, "and a very unruly cat as well."
Haley laughed and picked up the wine bottle in front of her.
"I love a good unruly cat story. Let me pour you a drink."
By the time dinner was over, Christy felt like she'd known Haley Wilde all of her life. Maybe it was because they'd both started making quilts when they were little girls, even though their mothers didn't sew. Or it could have been because they'd married men who'd supported their love of quilting without quite understanding it. Both of them, it turned out, had always imagined that one day they'd leave Milton Falls for bigger cities, though in Haley's case, that city was New York, while Christy had been thinking about Cincinnati.
"They have such nice museums there," she'd explained to Haley as they were leaving the restaurant. "I mean, I love our little art museum here, but it's just so darn small. I always leave it feeling unsatisfied."
To Christy's surprise, Haley linked arms with her and, leaning in, whispered conspiratorially, "I'm meeting next week with the director of the Grangerfield Foundation about starting a quilt museum. What do you think about that?"
Christy stopped dead in her tracks.
"Why, I think that would be amazing. I've always said that that's what this town needs, what with all of our quilt history. I don't understand why we don't have one already."
"I knew that's what you'd say," Haley exclaimed,
causing the people walking in front of them to turn around and stare. Lowering her voice, Haley continued,
"Come to the meeting with me on Tuesday night. We need someone with your organizational skills to get this thing off the ground. I mean it, Christy. It's going to be amazing."
Christy was just sober enough to wonder whether Haley Wilde was serious about asking her to help open a quilt museum, or if it was the Chardonnay talking. She wished there was more time to discuss the details, to get something in writing even, but they'd reached the stairs leading up to the entrance of building number 5. Standing at the top of the stairs, dressed in black slacks and a beige blouse, an outfit eerily similar to the one that Claire had talked Christy out of wearing, was Joanna Lambert.
"Haley Wilde," Joanna called. "You still owe me $5 from Quilt Week."
"I thought I was the one who lent you money in Paducah," Haley called back, climbing the stairs to greet Joanna.
"Either way, it's awfully good to see you."
Christy stayed back a few steps, not wanting to interfere with the women's reunion. It was like seeing 2 stars running into each other on the red carpet before the Oscars, she thought, the air around them shimmering with glamour and intrigue.
Maybe that's why, when Haley motioned for her to come up the steps to join them, Christy turned around, half expecting to see Marianne Fonz or Pat Sloan standing on the sidewalk behind her. She couldn't believe that Haley thought she belonged at the top of the stairs. But apparently Haley did.
"Christy, come meet Joanna," she called. "Let's see if we can get her to be on the board of advisors."
Board of advisors for what? Christy wondered, too flustered to even think straight, and then realized that Haley was talking about the quilt museum.
"Oh, gosh, well, yes," she stammered as she made her way up to them.
"That would be a perfect thing for Joanna to do.
Yes, of course."
"This is Christy Caswell, the woman who pulled off this incredible event," Haley told Joanna. "Have you been inside yet? Christy showed me the pictures on her phone, and it's just amazing what she's done."
I didn't act alone. Lots of people worked on this," Christy said, although she knew Haley knew that. Amy had been at the dinner, after all, and she'd pointedly commented more than once that she'd been the one who'd done all the heavy lifting before she had to go to Florida. Still, there wasn't time to make that clear. She stuck her hand awkwardly out to Joanna. "Hi, Joanna. We've met via email." Joanna's smile was guarded.
It's nice to meet you in person, Christy. I didn't know that you and Haley were friends. You've never mentioned it."
"We actually just met tonight at dinner," Haley told her, giving Christy's arm a squeeze. "But it was friendship at first sight."
"Oh, I see someone I have to say hi to. Find me in a few minutes, okay?"
Christy and Joanna both replied okay at the exact same moment, and then looked at each other in surprise.
"I think she was talking to me," Joanna said.
"But it might have been me," Christy said before she could stop herself, and then wondered why she'd sounded so hesitant.
"It really might have been her. Why not?"
There was a long pause before Joanna said,
"Listen, no offense, but I've done hundreds of these shows, and it's always the same thing."
"The same thing?"
"With the show organizers."
Joanna sounded like she thought this should be obvious.
"You're all the same. Oh, you've been better than most. You haven't overstepped. You haven't gotten all buddy-buddy. That's the only reason I accepted your offer to drive me to Columbus. But now I see you were just biding your time."
Now Christy was even more confused.
"Biding my time?"
"Before you made your pitch. You're clearly the sort of person who collects famous quilters. So, what is it, Christy? Are you writing a book? Starting an online quilt shop? How exactly are you hoping I can advance your career?"
Christy thought about how she'd intended to talk to Joanna about her old baby quilts book idea. But that's not why she wanted to be friends with Joanna, was it? No. Christy didn't even want a career in quilting. Why ruin a perfectly nice hobby by trying to make money from it? All she'd wanted was a little advice on whether or not she should try to publish a book. Advice she clearly wasn't going to get now, even if she were brazen enough to ask for it.
"You know, there was a time when I enjoyed being a public figure," Joanna continued, her voice softening. "Back when I was doing the TV show, it was fun when all those little quilters loved me. They'd wait outside of the studio for me to come out. They'd bring copies of the magazine and the books."
"The Splendid Simple Sampler," Christy supplied. "That was always my favorite."
"Yes, that and the Simple Sampler made even simpler and Be a Peacemaker at home and on the road. Oh, those were such good books. That was back when they still made good quilting books, you know. Books quilters really learned from. I can't tell you how many times I had my patterns tested to make sure they were exactly right so that my readers would never be misled. My publisher didn't once have to put out an errata statement in a second printing because I never published a pattern with a mistake in it. Not once."
That's impressive, Christy agreed.
Joanna nodded, still deep inside her reverie.
Yes, it was, and that's one of the reasons I had so many fans. My books were good, my magazine was good, and my TV show was good. You know, it wasn't really the people who wanted me to sign my books who were a problem. No, it was the guild presidents and the show organizers. Her expression darkened. They were the real bloodsuckers. They didn't want an autograph, they wanted my help to publish their own books or to get their start in the business side of quilting. They'd been teaching local classes and wanted to go national, and I was just the woman to push them into the big time.
I could see how that would happen, Christy said, but I don't understand what this has to do with me. And, well, me being friends with Haley, because Haley and I don't even make the same kind of quilts. We just kind of hit it off. We both have daughters. Having daughters gives you a lot in common.
Joanna looked at Christy and sighed. It was like seeing the air go out of a balloon, Christy thought, the way her shoulders sagged and her mouth went slack.
I have a daughter, she said after a moment. She has boots just like yours. She bought me a pair for my birthday, but they're really not my style. They look good on you, though.
That's very nice of you to say.
Joanna nodded and seemed on the verge of saying something else when Amy appeared. She sidled up to Joanna and placed a hand on her arm. Christy had to give it to her. Amy wasn't afraid to take charge, even with someone like Joanna Lambert.
Joanna, there you are. It's almost time to get started.
She turned to Christy.
Oh, before I forget, Joanna mentioned that you were giving her a ride to Columbus on Sunday, but I think I should do that, don't you? I'm the guild president, after all.
Christy almost protested that no, she could do it, but then she stopped herself. Joanna had made it clear they weren't going to be friends. They weren't going to send each other friendly emails over the years or have a cup of coffee at the next quilt show they both found themselves at. To her surprise, Christy didn't really mind. If Amy wanted to drive Joanna, by all means, she should have at it.
That's just fine, she said, following the two women inside. My guess is that you and Joanna will have a lot to talk about.
Joanna glanced over her shoulder, and maybe Christy was imagining it, but she looked a little panicked, as though she had just realized she was trading the devil she knew for a complete stranger and a guild president at that. She shouldn't worry, Christy thought as she stopped at the registration desk to pick up her name tag. Amy could be bossy, but she didn't have any grand schemes other than making the Milton Falls Evening Stars the best guild in the Tri-County area, which, with Christy's help, she'd done.
Christy, there you are!
Haley's voice came out of the crowd, and Christy looked up to see her waving.
I've got someone I want you to meet. He's super excited about our plans.
Carefully peeling her name tag from its backing, Christy stuck it smack dab in the middle of her chest.
Hello, I'm Christy Caswell, it said. How can I help you?
An excellent question, she thought, as she made her way to her new friend, her scuffed red boots tapping merrily across the hardwood floors. She was pretty sure she had a few answers.
Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.